The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps for your phone, your Apple App Store, your Google Play Store. Look for the Odyssey app, download it. That's it. That's all you have to do. You don't have to register with anything. You don't have to do anything. If you want to favorite things up, you can put your email in so you get notified of the things that you want to get notified on. You could totally control that. So I highly recommend it. It works with your CarPlay great. You can also tell your smart speakers, just play WILK News Radio. And you'll hear us live digitally through the smart speakers at your house. And I won't say the names because everybody gets angry and accuse me of ordering stuff for you, which I would never do. Never do. So how's everybody doing today on this Wednesday, April 30th, 2025, last day of April? 63 degrees. Today is the last sunset before 8 p.m. Yep, tomorrow, May 1st, the sunset is at 8 p.m. Tonight, it's at 7:59. So today is the last sunset before 8 p.m. That's a good sign. Hopefully, everybody weathered the storms that came through last night anywhere between 9:15-ish and 10:30-ish. They were through pretty quick. And they lessened up when they hit up by me, but I know that line of storms that went all the way up to Canada, down to Texas, and came across was pretty devastating a lot of places. I did see reports of trees down in our area. I did see reports of power outages. Winds picked up pretty darn good up by me, but the rain wasn't as bad as it could have been. It looked a lot worse before it got to us, and then it kind of started scattering and breaking apart to just green and dark green on the radar, where you had the bright oranges and reds and yellows above us and below us. So some of you got hit. So hopefully you weathered it, not much of an issue today or last night. And it's all good now. We're going to talk about some storms and power outages, not even storms. Well, yeah, sort of. Power outages around the world and how you could prepare for them here. And are you prepared for widespread or longer than normal power outages? We've been dealing with them more and more in our area. A lot of to do with these dead ash trees that are all over the place, and it's been a known ongoing issue. We knew all the ash trees were going to be killed in our area because of the Asian ash borer, and a lot of them are standing on the edges of where the power lines go through on our properties and such. I've had a ton of trees come down, ash trees where my wooded area in the back and across the street where our power lines are, but it seems like every storm, at least up by me, there seems to be power interruptions. Now, listen, our power crews get on them pretty quick. But it's happening. There's no proactive mitigation of all these dead trees. If you look at our power lines, our residential power lines, you could see a lot of those dead ash trees that if they do come down, they're going to hit the power lines. They hit the power lines, power goes out. You know, why not get some crews out there proactively and start taking these things down? And, you know, I've been saying that for years now, and it doesn't seem to happen. You know, when I was running communities back in the day before I was doing this stuff with you, you know, I said that we should start putting money aside, start setting up a reserve fund, because we're going to have to spend a lot of money to have tree companies come in and take care of these dead trees. We know they're dead. We're aware of it. It is a known problem. And if we don't do something to mitigate it, and God forbid someone gets injured or there's severe property damage for something we could avoid, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side of that. So, you know, I recommended back then, and this is, I'm talking 5-6 years ago, to start, you know, start putting money aside in our reserve budget for more tree management because of all these dead trees. Because if the trees were not dead already, they were in the process of dying and would be dead in a, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 years because of this invasive species that's taken over. And it's not the first tree type that we've had an issue with here in Pennsylvania, but it's the newest one that we're dealing with, and we're going to have to deal with it. And it looks like, from what I could see, and I'm no arborer, but most of them are dead in our area, if not maybe a year left. I don't think I have one surviving left of my ash trees that are in my woods. But again, that's just me. I did put a funny, and you still have some time to chime in on my social media, on my Facebook page. You know, I put a picture of some wings on my page. Yeah, buffalo wings. I put the drum and the flat side by side, the different types of wings you could get, and asked, which one are you? So far, the flats are winning, and that surprises me. I like both. I have no preference either or, and there are a few people who put in both, and you could say, well, that's the cheap way out of it. Listen, I just like buffalo wings, and I like them both. My wife, on the other hand, she'll pick my drumsticks out of my wings every time. She doesn't like the flats. She doesn't like to deal with them. You know, I understand the convenience of the wings, and they look like a chicken wing rather than the flat, but either or, they both have their benefits, and they both taste just as good. So I'm all in, but you could get in there and vote. But so far right now, the flats are winning, which is surprising to me. So get in there and make your vote, and we'll see where we are, you know, later in the show today. So this power outage across Spain, Portugal, and it was even into parts of France, affected millions of people. It was the most widespread power outage in Europe in decades. And it's interesting since that area, Spain specifically, recently said that they were 100% green, reliable energy. And then they have this huge blackout that they're still pointing fingers at. It's an unprecedented blackout across Spain, Portugal, upended the lives of millions across the Iberian Peninsula. Stark reminder of modern society's reliance on electricity and how quickly life can descend into chaos when the grid goes down. Power was nearly completely restored to the region late yesterday, their time. But the cause, the previous day blackout, remains unclear. For those affected, the experience will likely leave a lasting impression and raise questions on how to respond if another crisis emerges. Now, I bring this story up because this story, you know, did happen over the past couple of days. They did get power restored yesterday, their time. But with the storms coming through last night and seeing trees down and seeing power outages, are you prepared for something like this? Can you withstand longer than normal power outages? And I don't mean a day. I don't mean a couple of hours. We've all dealt with them. I mean, what's the worst that could happen if you don't have some sort of backup? Listen, you don't take a shower. You deal with it. You keep your refrigerator closed. Hopefully you have some bottled water in your house so you can get through the most part of it. You can go out to eat. You can go to a friend's house. You know, there's ways around it. Some people more prepared than others. Listen, I'm probably what you can consider not a big prepper, but I have the basics, what I need to get through pretty much anything. You know, I have percolator coffee to where I you know, my camp pot that I could put on my gas-burning stove, and I don't need any electricity for that. So we can make coffee in the morning if the power's out. I have lanterns. I have, you know, gas-powered, propane-powered, gasoline-powered lanterns. And, you know, of course, battery and rechargeable and such like that. I have generators to back up my entire house that I could plug into the house. It runs the entire house. I have small generators to where I can run my water pump so we can have water and such like that. I have propane fireplaces, so if the heat's not working, the boiler, I can't get it kicked on to circulate the hot water. You know, my fireplaces heat up the house just fine. We do have a ton of MREs, so we have food in case, you know, we have enough MREs probably for a month for a family of five. As far as water goes, you know, we do have water buffaloes stored in our garage that are treated and there for the long term. Some of them we've dove into in the smaller batches. We have some 5-gallon ones that we could bring in and sit on the kitchen counter and such like that. But again, for the most part, we really haven't had a big need since we've moved here. Now, power's been out for the short term more and more over the past 2 years. Again, a lot of to do with these dead trees that are coming down on power lines. But you really need to think about, you know, how you will be able to deal with it. Not just your home, but a more widespread. The entire Northeast region goes out of power. Our power grid is fragile. The experts keep telling us our power grid is fragile. The experts keep telling us that there are nefarious people out there that are looking to target our power grid. So what's your plan? Do you have a 3-day, a 5-day supply to get you through if there's no power? You know, what do you do in that sort of thing? Now, Like I said, I'm a big what-if guy, and a lot of my friends are what-if guys who've been through it, and they talk about, you know, if the grid goes down, like, via an attack where it's not expected to come up, what do you do? Well, there's a lot of things you can do. You know, the meat in your freezer will obviously thaw out, and you could smoke it. You know, that's something you could do without power. That's something you don't need. You just need to know how to do it. Do you know how to do those things? Do you know how to salt your meat? Do you know how to smoke it to preserve it for the long term, where it just doesn't all go bad and you're just not throwing it away? Gasoline, obviously. You know, if there's no power, our gas stations don't have power, or they'll be on generators as well. And do they run out of supply? Yes, it happens. It happens all the time. I remember before we moved here, I was out on Long Island, and we had that huge power outage. It was a lot of the Northeast, from New York all the way up to Boston. And this had to be – it had to be between 2001 and 2004. It was somewhere in there. I think it was 2002, to be honest with you, 2003. You know, we packed up my family and we went to my parents' house here in Madisonville, Pennsylvania, because the power here was not affected by that. So that was our plan. But getting through New York, getting from eastern Long Island through New York City, over the bridges to here was not easy. You know, after 9/11, we had several plans with my family out there. Yes, listen, if it was unsafe to go through the city, we had the Port Jefferson Ferry that took you to Bridgeport, Connecticut. So the plan was, because we lived within 3 miles of the ferry at Port Jefferson, you know, go there, get on the ferry. If there's no room on the ferry for the car, leave the car, take the kids over there and have my parents or my family meet you there, pick you up and take you, you know, here to the country. So kind of here was our fallback zone. But you should really think about, especially this day and age, and have a plan and discuss that plan with your family members. It's not panicky. It's not worrying about things that aren't on the horizon, because every expert is telling us to prepare for these things. So it's a good idea, and use situations like what just happened in Spain and Portugal and parts of France to say and ask the question, hey, are we ready? You know, can we deal with 3 days to 5 days without power? What happens if it's longer than that? What happens for the long term? I mean, I remember when the tornadoes came through here, affected Moscow, Madisonville, a lot of the places around this area. You know, power was out for a week and a half. Thankfully, there were hotels a couple miles away that had power, and we were able to get rooms there for my parents to stay. We were dealing with the trees that came down, and you could literally see on my parents' property in Madisonville where the tornado came through. It twisted these pine trees, which were probably 16 inches to 2 feet across, just twisted them in the trunk in the middle and through the tops. I mean, we were there for days with chainsaws cutting it all up. Thankfully, not much to the house. It ripped the soffit, the suction, ripped the soffit on the front porch down and out, and it took the cap off the chimney. Other than that, there was no damage to the house. But you could see where the tornado came through, the path where it came from. It just skimmed the house and continued down the woods in the back, knocking trees down. You know, and like I said, we were there for 5-6 days with chainsaws cutting down all these pine trees and getting the brush gone and burning it and such like that. But power was not out. Thankfully, we had the hotel over near Wallenpaupack, where we were able to get over there, get showers, and kind of freshen up. And then, you know, we slept in a house with lanterns and didn't really need much. We were young, crazy at that time. Again, this was back. That had to be 99, 2000. It was before 9/11. 98, 99, 2000. I know my son was little. We got pictures of us cleaning up with the tractor, all the debris out there. But you learn from things that are in the press. You learn from things that are happening in the world around you. Just don't ignore these things. Say, it's not going to happen here. Or we could deal with power for, you know, do you talk 3-5 days? You talk a week? You talk 2 weeks? Can you deal with it? Do you have a plan to go somewhere? Can you be accommodated somewhere else? You know, what happens to your property with you not being there? So just something to think about. And because some of us have lived through it, some of you have lived through it, it's no big deal. You were aware of it. But I will tell you from experience, the people in urban America, people in the inner cities, when power goes out for more than a couple of hours, they lose their mind. They lose their minds. Now, some have fun with it while it's still able to have some fun with it. I'm talking, you know, 2-3 days, maybe. We've had the big blackouts in New York City that I've worked as a police officer. And they weren't bad. I mean, you had some incidents, but anything more than that, people start to really lose. They don't know how to care for themselves in those environments. They don't. They're not used to. You know, we're kind of rural America here. Even in the towns and the boroughs here, you know, we're used to being outdoors. We're used to fishing. We're used to hunting. We're used to camping. You know, we're used to things that people in the inner city, a lot of them aren't. And I've seen them. They just don't know what to do. I mean, here's a group of people, and not all of them, and I'm being general, but here's a group of people who think their food comes from the supermarket, not from farms, not from, you know, cows and chickens and such like that. So, you know, just use it to have a plan, discuss it, have an idea what you can do. Make sure you have, you know, a gallon of water or more per day per person in your house for at least a couple of days. Make sure you have non-perishable food per person for a couple of days. And that's not hard to get this day and age. There's all sorts of kits you can get. There's all sorts of things you can have. Like I said, my MREs have been in storage in my cold storage in my basement for a long time. And I rotate them out sometimes because, you know, my kids find it comical or a novelty to grab an MRE and eat it. Maybe that's why they chose the careers they chose. And they're not bad, to be honest with you, if prepared right. So have a plan. That's the moral of the morning monologue here. It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 3:26, 64 degrees on this Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. We were talking about being prepared. You know, if the power gets knocked out, can you deal with it? Can you sustain yourself for, you know, an extended period of time? Let's talk to Luciano on being prepared. Luciano, you're a prepper? Luciano, you there? Yeah, Luciano's on hold, I guess. Not listening, not paying attention. Luciano, come on, I tried to take your call. But we're going to move on now. We talked about this yesterday, and yet we have another story as well to add to it. Wilkes-Barre police are investigating a pair of assaults that took place during the city's Cherry Blossom Festival at Kirby Park over the weekend. The victims include, and this will tie it into what we started yesterday off with, a teen who pistol whipped a woman hit by pepper spray and a woman hit by pepper spray. Officers first responded to a report of a gunshot victim around 7:30 p.m. Saturday and learned the 13-year-old victim had been hit in the face with a gun. Police said the girl's friend, a boy of about 14 to 15 years old, got into an argument. When the girl got between the pair, the boy pulled a gun and pistol whipped her in the face. So here's a 14 or 15-year-old getting into an argument. A girl, a 13-year-old girl, gets in between them to stop the argument. One of these teens, these young teens, takes out what appears to be a pistol. And what I say appears to be, it looked like it, but it was never fired. So, you know, I would at all reasons believe it to be real. But he took it out and pistol whipped the girl in the face. The girl was treated at the scene for her injuries, and police said the assailant fled the area. And around 7 p.m. on Sunday the next day, officers respond to a report of fight in progress involving several people and found a large group of juveniles in a brawl. A 20-year-old woman was pepper sprayed during the dispute, also sustained an injury to her foot. This is during the Cherry Blossom Festival at Kirby Park. So during this great spring event, Cherry Blossom Festival, where they have them all over the place, some of the biggest being Washington, D.C., you have a 14 or 15-year-old teen taking out a pistol and pistol whipping a 13-year-old girl who was trying to break up a fight. And then you have a large group of juveniles the next day brawling to where other people are injured.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
We really need to clamp down on our children. How are these 13, 14, 15-year-olds running around? This is two incidents in the past, this just past weekend, with firearms involved. One where somebody was tragically shot and is expected to come through. I mean, parents, I spoke to you directly yesterday. I talked about some tools of how you need to be involved to help prevent your kids from going down this path. And don't think, well, never my kid. Don't think it's not my kid. We talked about it yesterday about peer pressure, about people of the opposite sex trying to, you know, boys or girls trying to manipulate based on all the crazy things that go on with teenagers, gangs, bad influences. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it during our youth. There was the smoking and the drinking and stuff like that. Thankfully, it wasn't this, but there were gangs back in our age. You know, especially me growing up in New York City, you know, there were the gangs. It's this falls on us, the parents. This falls on the adults in the room to get a hold of our kids. This isn't a law enforcement problem. It's not their problem. It's not a city's problem. It's not a municipality's problem. These are your children. These are our children out there that are doing this. Now, obviously, these kids, or maybe they are, aren't ours, but it could be. And I'm going to keep drilling in that we need to take the proactive steps as parents to be involved as much as we can, to know everything that's going on. If you have a child that's under 16, you should know every aspect of their social media life. You should know every aspect of what they're doing in their life. And I don't want to hear it. If you're paying for the cell phone, if you're paying for an internet connection, the end. Be the bad girl. Be the bad guy. It's just the way it is. My job is to protect you. And if you hate me at this moment for protecting you, you'll appreciate it when you're in your 20s. I promise you. We're not here to be our children's friends. We're here to be their guardians. That's why that title exists. We're here to protect them. And I promise you, the last thing you want to do is talk to your child through a plexiglass window at a prison. It's the last thing you want to do. So take the proactive steps now. Take the hard steps now to have a conversation with your child. To say, I'm sorry, I'm going to have full access to everything you have. And between 16 and 18, you know, we'll start talking about boundaries. We'll start talking about freedom only when you prove to me that you've earned those. When you're 18, if you're going down a bad path, well, then maybe we need to make some decisions. Maybe I need to distance yourself from the other members of this family to protect them, since you obviously, you know, are going down a wrong path. It's a hard decision, I know. It's a painful decision, I know. I've seen it. I've been in the middle of it. I've seen it. The best raised children are always still a handful, but it's those interactive parents. It's the parents who kept at it, who helped that success happen, and then let them take it from there. It's our job to set the, I mean, this is just two instances in two parts of our area, Northeast Pennsylvania, Oliphant and now Kirby Park. 14-year-old with a firearm, one pistol whipping, the other one shooting them in the chest. This needs to stop, and it's up to the parents to stop this. Police are only responding to this. They can only be proactive so much. It is the parents' job to make sure your kid knows that they are not going to be carrying a firearm and surely not going to be able to have the wherewithal to shoot another person, another human being in the chest. Not at the age of 14, they're not. Not while they're under your household. And I don't care if you're a single parent. I don't care if you're a grandparent. I don't care if you're an uncle or a surrogate parent that's just raising a child, a foster child. You've taken the responsibility to be their guardian. Be the guardian. And we need to drill this in and hold them accountable. And if you have a family member, if you have a brother, sister, parent, cousin, aunt, uncle that's dropping the ball in this, well, you need to have a conversation with them. And if they can't handle it, maybe a conversation with the authorities that can remove that kid to somewhere where they have a chance. We're failing our kids on multiple levels. We're failing them in education. We're failing them on the streets. We're failing them simply to survive. And we need to do something different. It's 3:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:38. Let's try this again. We have Luciano on Being Prepared. Luciano, how are you doing?
Yeah, Rob, thank you for taking my call. I'm walking and talking to you. Unfortunately, I used to live in a van. I used to live in my car. I know all about prepping, and I know about being a living in, taking showers at the Planet Fitness. All this time I was working, I met men and women, unfortunately seniors, many men and women live in their vans and cars, and some of them live in those, what you call those, wagons, those big, gigantic vans. But yes, I know about living in them and how you had to take a shower and how you had to go to bathroom and how I had my bed in my car and I was working and I finally got enough money to get on my feet. I did that for about, unfortunately, about 2.5 years, but I also lived in the streets. And, one last thing about, Latino gangs and black gangs, most of them are kids, Latin Kings, Bloods, encryption about that living in New York City. Many of these minority kids have no father. They're just strictly 90, like, unfortunately, 85% of parents nowadays just have one parent. And that's what's causing the gangs, the influx of gangs that tremendously increased. But yes, I know about generators and how I used to eat my food at night, and I used to sleep in the woods and in Walmart parking lots. And yes, we have to be prepared, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of living in my van again or in my car again. And like I said, I met seniors that couldn't afford to get an apartment, so they lived on the street for 10 months until they got enough money to put a deposit. It's unfortunate, but...
It's unfortunate that people like that have to survive in this day and age, Luciano. It's glad that you're on better terms now and on your feet.
You.
It just shows that it is possible. You know, your determination, your willpower, your drive, your hard work has changed your situation.
And I thank God.
I appreciate you calling in and giving your perspective, you. Luciano. And he's right. And listen, I understand a lot of the gang, getting back to the gangs, I understand the gang issue is vulnerable children. But let's not make that easy for the people who prey on them, to recruit them, to guide them, to give them a sense of belonging. I get all the issues surrounding it. And there's a multitude of them. There's no one answer to this. But parents need to do the best they can. And if it's a single parent or not, you can't be absent. And I don't care what the circumstances is. You need to do your best. And if you can't or you're having trouble doing it, ask for help. Get a mentor. There's a great study with Big Brothers Big Sisters through Harvard University, and it's gone national to where children who have mentors, who have a big brother or big sisters, are like 70 or 80% less likely to be involved in gangs, to be involved with criminal activity. They're like 70 or 80% more likely to be successful and make a decent income. And that's simply having that mentor. And it could be anyone. It doesn't have to be a structured thing. We do have big brothers, big sisters in our area. But it could be anything. Find a mentor for your children. If they're into sports, find a mentor in sports, a coach, someone older in that sport, someone that they can look up to, someone who's maybe going to college who plays that sport. I don't care if it's recruited or just for fun. Law enforcement, you know, stop by your local precinct. Stop by your local police department and say, hey, do you have any events for kids or teens to where, you know, they can see some positive in life? They can have some, you know, one-on-one with police officers. I guarantee you they'll be more than happy to set something up, more than happy to do something. And I'm not talking, you know, that typical, oh, watch, you know, here's Johnny, you know, you better watch out. The police are there. They're going to arrest you. I'm not talking about that at all. That's horrible to do. You're already from a young age creating an adversary with law enforcement, making them afraid of law enforcement. I'm talking about going to law enforcement on your own time, on your own terms, and saying, hey, I'm having these issues. You know, he's not a bad kid or she's not a bad kid yet. But, you know, I see it down the road if I don't do something. I don't have the skill set. I don't have the knowledge to do this. Can you recommend programs? Can you recommend things to do? You'll get the help. You'll get guidance. There's plenty of places out there. Stop by your district attorney's office. Stop by your youth resources. Your YMCA. There's a ton of organizations out there that can help. They can't do it for you, but they can help guide you in the right direction. So try there. Church, whatever you want to make that, a higher being, and I don't care what that is. I'm not going to recommend any denomination or specific avenue, but find religion in your life, in your child's life. Go with them. Spend the time to take them with you. Show them that it's important to you and make it important to them. It'll make a difference. It'll make a difference indeed. So let me tell you about the Good Feet store, located right here in Scranton on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. I have them in my shoes right now. I'm wearing my Hey Dudes. I love my Hey Dudes, and it's not a commercial for Hey Dudes. But, I love them. You slip them on. They're comfortable. I love the versatility with them. Just slip my Good Feet arch supports right in them. And I made the mistake. I talked about it yesterday of last week. I headed to Annapolis in my dress shoes, and I forgot them. Paid the price. Paid the price, but now, you can only walk around in pain so long before you say, I'm not going to do that again. And for 2 years now, I've been wearing my Good Feet arch support, and I've not had that pain. So it was kind of a reminder, hey, stupid, you need these, and don't forget them again. So I have them in now. I love them. You can visit them at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Scranton. You can call them at 570-534-0980 or check them out online at goodfeet.com. They're made in the USA. I'm telling you, they made a difference in my life. Check them out because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Got the Bloomberg Money Minute coming up in just a few. So the not seasonally adjusted unemployment rate for the Scranton-Wilkesboro-Hazleton Metropolitan Statistical Area, now that's a mouthful, huh? Dropped 0.4% to 4.6% in March after sitting at 5% in January and February, according to data from the State Department of Labor and Industry. However, the rate is up 0.3% from March 2024. So it's a little higher than March 2024, but it's lower than January and February of this year. 2 years, different things to go by. And there was a mixed bag today. Even the New York Times, their article today, because our GDP was down slightly, and it's because of the increased push of goods coming into the country because of expected tariffs. But even the New York Times said it's kind of a mixed bag. There's positives and negatives, but the negatives were speculative. The negatives are what is expected if the tariffs go through. And no one knows where this is going to happen. Supposedly, they're on a close deal with India. And we're going to talk about some unease between India and Pakistan later in the show because that's getting a little scary, what's going on out there. And we're going to talk about that. But they talk, The New York Times actually did a decent job of breaking down the economy. And in the mainstream media, and you'll probably hear it during the ABC news break here, where they're trying to show that, oh, these tariffs are affecting things, things are lower. Well, that's not what the New York Times said. And their economists said it was sort of a mixed bag. There was good news. And the bad news is more speculation and predicting of what may happen with tariffs. And there seems to be the run of the mill here. There's where the detachment of our mainstream media hits us in the face, and it does hit us directly in the face. Like this here, the seasonal, non-seasonally adjusted unemployment for our area is down from 5% in January and February to 4.6% in March, but they want to throw in there. But it's still up 0.3% from March of 2024. So they will not give this administration a positive outlook. They will not give this administration the benefit of the doubt. They just not will report the news the way it is. They'll have to slant it to let people say, oh, look, see, things aren't the way they said they are. But they are. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Time for the Bloomberg. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 65 degrees at 5:54. You have a couple days to get that real ID. If you don't have one, get on it. You're going to need it. It's interesting because I have my daughter's graduation at the Naval Academy the end of May, which is tomorrow, is going to be this month. And people are just finding out that they can't get in to their own kids' graduation unless they have real ID because it is a military base. So people are scrambling around the nation to get those. But don't be on that side of it. You either need a passport card, or a real ID. If you're in the military, your CAT card is considered a real ID, so you have one. But it's a good idea to get. So get on it. Get out there. Got a text message in. I appreciate it. Don't know if it was mentioned already, but almost all fire departments that are volunteer have junior programs for kids from 14 up to 18. They can train, supervise, take state training, and build skills to become a firefighter. Wonderful camaraderie and for them to experience. And I agree with that 100%. Give them alternatives. Give them a different path. Do your best as a guardian. And I don't care what that means to you. If you're a chosen guardian, if you're a grandparent, aunt, uncle, parent, if the parents are dropping the ball and you want to step in as a relative and do the right thing, get them involved in something that will steer their direction to a positive rather than to be out there in all that negative that surrounds us. So, you know, something to think about. And that's I'm glad that texter, you know, called with that in. GM is recalling nearly 600,000 Cadillacs, Chevrolets, and GMC cars due to engine failure risks. And I, from what I understand, ones that are not sold on the lots have been frozen. They cannot be sold at this time. The recall covers certain Cadillac Escalades, Escalade ESVs, Chevrolet Silverado 1500s, Suburbans, Tahoes, as well as GMC Sierra 1500s, Yukons, Yukon XLs, between model years 2021 and 2024. According to recall documents published by the National Highway Safety Traffic Safety Administration, these vehicles share a gas engine that may have connecting rod or crankshaft component problems due to supplier, manufacturing, or quality issues. This can lead to engine damage and potential failure while driving, increasing crash risks. So if you have one of those vehicles, in all, about 597,630 vehicles are covered by the recall, as per a notice dated April 24th, but the company estimates that just 3% have the defect. When asked why owner notification wouldn't start till June 9th, GM maintained that it was common to require time to both confirm mailing lists and for registered owners and ensure that dealers are prepared to deal with it. The Detroit-based auto company added that it will continuing to increase engine production, but felt confident about having sufficient supply to service this recall campaign. So it appears official notification is not going out till June 9th, but the National Safety Transportation Association has put out notice already. An investigation by GM has found that 28,000 complaints for incidents across the U.S. related to engine failure of these vehicles between April 2021 and February 2025, including 14,000 reports that allege loss of propulsion, as per the NHTSA documents note. Probe identified alleged reports of 12 crashes and 12 injuries, as well as 42 fires, but noted that the cause were not always clear, and that's all specifically alleged injuries, for example, were minor, non-physical, and most were not crash-related. So if you have one of those vehicles, again, we'll Cadillac Escalades and Escalade ESVs, Chevrolet Silverado 1500s, Suburbans and Tahoes, as well as GMC Sierra 1500s, Yukons, Yukon XLs, between model years 2021 and 2024, you might want to check in with your dealer and your service department. This is a big recall, and we've seen these, you know, time and time again. It's interesting that, you know, when you saw, what was it, the Tesla Cybertrucks had a big recall, and everybody was like, oh, you see the Teslas? They got this recall. Oh, look what's going on with Tesla. Here you have GMC recalling over 500,000 vehicles of high-end vehicles. I mean, listen, Cadillacs, Escalades, the GMCs, the Yukons, the Tahoes, they're the top end of their spectrum as far as Chevys goes. The larger vehicles, too. And it's a bad thing when your big Escalade loses propulsion and you have an issue on the highway doing 70. But really, not much. I mean, there is an article about it, but, you know, we haven't seen much pushed from the media. But it's out there, and if you have one of these vehicles, it's a concern. I mean, between the vehicles I have, and I have Fords, Hyundais, you know, the whole gamut, I get recalls all the time, and it's burdensome. It becomes a problem. Some of them minor nonsense. Some of them you could pretty much check on your own. But it's good to get them checked out because you don't want something happening, especially if it's a loved one, your child, or someone using your car, and something happens that could be preventable. But I understand it is a pain in the neck. You spend that amount of money, and cars this day and age are that amount of money. You know, you want it to work properly. You spend $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 on a car. I don't want to have to deal with your recalls every couple of months or every year even. That's not what I spent that money for. That's not why I send that payment each month for. It's coming up on 4 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. When we come back after the break, I'll have a great show for you.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.